Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
When you were a kid, did you ever play Red Light, Green Light? Or
yeah.
Was it Brown Light, Brown Light?
That's pretty good. That's a good one there. It was Great Light, Great Light. And this is Stranger Still.
Should I tell everyone that I'm sick?
No.
Hi, John.
Hi, Nicholas.
How are you?
I'm really healthy today, like more than usual.
Yeah?
How are you?
That's good. I am less than healthy.
Oh.
I just want to let all the listeners out there know that if you can't hear to my voice, I'm pretty sick.
Yeah. And he's like ill, too.
Right.
But he's pretty sick.
Yeah. I feel like both of those mean the same thing.
Dude, nice. No, not in New York.
Oh, okay.
Sick. Go on.
I can't even keep up. I'm pretty spacey, like almost Kevin Spacey, but not as old and handsome. So bear with me this week. Luckily, this week's topic, we have our very first resident expert on.
Uh-huh.
With us here today.
Let's bring him in.
All right.
Should we ask him to talk?
Yeah.
Okay. It's me. It was me the whole time.
It's been John the whole time. God. Yep. Our topic this week is color blindness, which is good because I feel like crap. So you can pick up a lot of the slack that I'm going to be laying down on the ground.
Yeah.
So what does color blindness mean to you? I feel like an interviewer.
Yeah. Well,
job.
Being colorblind is really fun. Because it's the only handicap where someone asks you to prove it immediately after.
Yeah.
How often do you go up to someone in a wheelchair and say, "Oh, you can't walk?" They push a chair over. Prove it.
Prove it.
Oh, you can't see red? What color is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
There's a comedian that does a bit about that, which, yeah, I thought was pretty good.
It is pretty good. My favorite experience with it was I bought this new messenger bag, and for all the normies out there, it was like a deep brown color, and John has a messenger bag that he always carries around. He had it long before I ever bought a messenger bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes into work and he says, "Oh, you think you can just copy me here?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Just get the same messenger bag as me." I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." He was like, "You got the same color messenger bag as me."
Mm-hmm.
I looked at mine. I looked at his. Yours was tan.
It's still green, though, is the thing.
But you thought they were both
in my
green.
Reality.
I was like, "John, I don't know how to break this to you, but those are completely different colors. Yours is like a pretty solid sand color.
Yeah.
Mine's like a deep brown."
Yeah. You know, it's
like a jerk.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, you shouldn't feel bad for colorblind people.
Yeah.
Because everything all the time looks like a really beautiful Wes Anderson movie to me.
Yeah?
That's all.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, the question that I want to answer today.
And Wes Anderson movies look like super Wes Anderson movies,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
Well, luckily, he only ever uses, like, yellows and reds and stuff.
And he's like, "Let's just turn the saturation down."
Yeah. Does he talk like that?
"Let's turn it down."
I'm pretty sure he's not Norwegian.
Norwegian? Wesley Anderson.
Wesley Anderson.
Yeah.
So the question that I want to answer today is, why does John always wear Christmassy colors year-round?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice of me to call you out on that? John always wears this plaid shirt that is green and red, and it's very Christmassy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've also said that people are always like, "Why are you wearing a Christmas shirt?"
I'm like, since when is gray and gray Christmas colors?
But yeah, so ever since I met you, I probably annoyed you a lot with the questions about color blindness because it's hard for me to wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. I think that's true for most normal people. Color-abled people. What should I call myself?
Yeah, you're a couple color-able. It's fine. Yeah. I'm color-deficient.
Color-deficient.
Yeah.
Actually, there was like a politically correct name I came across while researching this, and I was like, no one cares enough to not call it color-blind people.
What is it?
It is color vision deficiency is the is the politically correct version of color blindness.
I guess I wasn't really picked on except for like when I was a kid and I'd watch like Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. I would watch Kermit the Frog sing "It Ain't Easy Being Gray."
Yeah.
And
I was like, get the words right.
Yeah, I had to look it up, and I was like, I don't get it. Is he old? Like,
yeah, his hair is. Yeah, just, yeah. But I think it is true with most people, because as you said before, I think the most common, what's the most common question you get when you tell someone you're colorblind?
No, you're not. Which is not a question, but that's what they say.
Yeah.
And then, what color is this?
Yes, exactly. What color is this? Every time. And I've seen it happen.
And then
it's
I
so
go,
funny.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And I'm like, blue. And they go, see, you're not. Yeah.
That's not the right question to ask is the problem. And we'll get to that because there are a lot of misconceptions.
They should be like, oh, diatropic?
Yeah.
Or whatever
or
it is.
The other one that I can't say because I'm sick?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of misconceptions about color blindness out there. So hopefully we can clear some of that up.
Cool.
Because quit being so dumb and asking people, what color is this? It's gray. Move on. So we've established that you are colorblind, and this might seem like a dumb question to ask, but it's important because there are those misunderstandings out there. But what is colorblindness?
Colorblindness is when your eyeballs, mm-hmm. which normally function with a bunch of little receptors in mm-hmm. them, are missing receptors for certain colors.
Yes. That's a very simple explanation, but we're gonna get deeper. At the very root of it, you're right. It's the inability to distinguish colors from one another.
Yeah.
And there's like a spectrum of color blindness. Like some people, it's just some, like for you, it's that certain shades are desaturated.
Yeah.
And for like on the opposite end of the spectrum, it's just black and white.
Right. Do you mind if I go a little deeper now?
Yeah.
Okay. So color blindness is when your eyeballs... Mm-hmm. have receptors,
yeah.
and some of the receptors for certain colors are missing.
Yep.
And then one day, our consciousness dies.
I think that's just death.
Yeah, I was just trying to get real deep about it, like philosophical.
I was about to say, that's like the original thing you said the first time, except you added death to it.
Yeah, I just made it deeper.
Yeah. Thanks for that. It's black and white.
No, it's not, though. But go on.
Well, that's the other end of the spectrum is that people just see things in black and white, like an old film.
Yep. Monochromatic.
Just a good song by...
Nope, I guess not. I guess you
White House and the Whaler.
Okay, there you go.
I'm like a really Kevin Spacey right now. So that's basically it. At its core, that's colorblindness. There are three different types, which I'll get to in a second, but I want to explain what causes, I guess, colorblindness, or why it happens in the first place. And for that, we need to understand how light works, because I think a lot of people get that wrong, too. They assume it's like paints. With paints, you have red, blue, and yellow. Mix red and yellow to get orange, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And if you mix all of them, you get like a blackish, brownish color.
Mm-hmm.
But for light, it's actually pretty much the exact opposite, where you have red, green, and blue, RGB. If you work with computers, you may have interacted with that quite a bit. With red and green, you do get yellow. Green and blue gives you cyan. Red and blue gives you magenta. But when you have all three of them, it gives you white. And when you have none of them, it gives you black. The absence of light mm-hmm. gives you black. Ta-da! That's light for you.
Yeah.
Our eyes work the same way, where we have these cones in our eyes. There are certain cones to receive the color green, the color red, and the color blue. Just like our computers. That's how it works for our eyes as well.
Mm-hmm.
In our eyes, we have sets of rods and sets of cones. I don't think that's news to anyone. Rods are responsible for low light situations, like they help you see in night vision, but they don't do much for color. That's where your cones come in. When light hits it, the light is a certain wavelength, and it excites one of three types of cones. The first type of cones is red, second type of cones is green, and the third type of cones is?
Biv.
Well.
Rogibiv?
Rogibiv.
Blue.
I get it. It's blue, though. It's blue. So colorblindness can come from like someone having a lesser amount of one of those receptors, one or more of those receptors, actually, or they just don't exist at all, or they aren't working properly. Some researchers also say it could be a fault between when the cones react to when it transfers to your brain. So as that impulse is being received, and then it sends it to your brain, there's something wrong in the middle there where that light is just getting lost in your brain. Other than issues with your cones, do you know where else color blindness can come from?
Your grandpa.
Hey, that's actually a really good segue there. So, 8%, about 8% of men are affected with color blindness, whereas 4 to 5% of women are affected.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like 1 in 10 men and like 1 in 20 women are
affected.
Which
is why I said your grandpa, because most likely it's men.
It is most likely men. It's because the genetic deficiency for color blindness is passed down through the X chromosome. So not exactly your grandfather. More likely your mother.
Yep.
Let's get blue here. When babies are made, they either have two X chromosomes,
uh-huh,
which is a female.
Yep.
Typically. If you have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, you're a boy, usually.
Okay, great. But we didn't do a podcast on how babies get made yet, so like I'm just going to agree to agree.
Yeah.
And kind of go
well,
with you.
It's interesting because there are exceptions to that where a male can have two X chromosomes and a female can have an X and a Y chromosome.
Yeah.
Which I think deserves its own episode because that's fascinating.
That's pretty neat.
But we'll get to that at a later date.
Yeah.
Wait,
are we talking about Pokemon? What?
Yeah, X and Y.
Okay.
And then both games have Zygarde and they never made a Z. I was kind of disappointed. Like,
weird.
Remember when they made Red, Blue, and Yellow, three games, and then they made Gold and Silver and Crystal. Like, I thought they were going to bring X and Y and then release a third one, Z, and I was like, oh, they're going to do a Z, and they never did.
I don't think I've played those. I used to play Pokemon Cyan. It was really weird. I don't know if it was a legit copy.
No, it's probably straight from China.
Yeah.
Shout out to our Chinese friends out there. We have one I know of.
Yeah? Good.
Since it's passed down through the X chromosome, if the genetic deficiency is on there, women or people with two X chromosomes have the chance for that deficiency to be made up in the second chromosome. So if the second chromosome doesn't have the deficiency, it's going to fill in that gap. You're going to be good on the color blindness deal. You're going to be color able.
Yeah.
Is that what you decided to call it?
Color able.
Color able.
Yeah.
Now, on the men's side, if they have that deficiency, they only have one X chromosome. The other one's a Y. It's not on that chromosome, so they're guaranteed to be affected by it. Just how you ended up with it.
Yep, I got it from my grandfather.
Yep,
on my mother's side. And when I was a little kid, and I found out that I was colorblind,
mm-hmm,
he would tell me stories about him being colorblind because he's actually a pilot.
Yeah,
And that impacts that a little bit, huh?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, but there's one story he told me where he was in the Air Force actually, and yeah, they're doing a training exercise where they had to go through the woods and they had to pick people out.
Yeah,
so he'd say, they'd go in and say, there's a guy there, there's a guy there, there's a guy there. He could see everyone's camouflage.
Yeah.
Because it didn't match up perfectly with the surrounding,
sure,
environment. So he'd say, Pesapain, get over here. And they'd pull him out of the exercise. And he got to just hang out and drink coffee with
nice.
The captains. And
all
I thought that was cool. Like, I could see through camouflage when I was a little kid. So people used to get really paranoid when I told them that if they were in, like, camo shorts.
Yeah. You know, I could see in the forest, right?
Yeah.
Well.
Or that I could see through their pants.
Yeah. So he was a pilot?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll get to that. We'll get to that later, because there are certain careers and stuff that people can't take when they're colorblind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more ways that it affects lives. But I want to hold on. I want to dog ear that. There are other ways that colorblindness can... I mean, the genetic route is the most common route for colorblindness to weasel its way into your life. There are other ways that I honestly didn't know about. Because in high school, I was told it was genetics, and that was it. But aging is a pretty obvious one. As you age, your vision just gets worse. You can develop stuff like glaucoma. Those sort of things can make you more colorblind just as things become more desaturated. You can also develop colorblindness from trauma to your head.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the, I guess, especially when you're young, if you like take a bad fall and bonk the back of your head, that's where the stuff that controls your eyes and your vision is. So if you take trauma at the back of your head, there's a more likely chance that you might be colorblind because of that. Some studies also say that shaken baby syndrome can cause colorblindness.
Yeah.
Because as you're shaking this baby, there's not a lot of protection. So it's going to bonk the back of their head and it can affect their vision in the long run.
That's terrible.
It is. And people, I shouldn't have to say this, but don't shake your babies.
I don't think that's a problem. Is that a problem?
It is. When we had our baby, they made us watch. It might have been because we had to go to the NICU, but we had to watch this video called Purple Crying, where it's like, sometimes babies just cry. If your baby cries, do not shake it. And that was the message for 15 minutes.
Yeah, but like, why is that your next, what, would I just shake this thing?
Yeah.
You caveman?
People just get frustrated.
What is this?
It did point out that most of the time, babies affected with shaken baby syndrome are from...
abusive.
From other people.
Okay.
So, like, relatives or friends or something that just get frustrated with this crying baby, they don't know what to do. They get frustrated and they shake it.
It's not a soda machine.
Stuff. Right. It's not... your Snickers isn't stuck.
Yeah.
Stop shaking that
and
baby.
And if it is, like, you have bigger problems. If your baby, like, won't... I don't know. There's CPR methods that get Snickers out of babies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. That was depressing.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Lastly, on what can cause color blindness, this was something that I never thought could happen. It was a huge surprise to me that medication can actually make you go colorblind.
Is that temporary?
It is. It's only like while you're on the medication. It's a side effect of the medication you're taking.
So do people like get high on drugs to see black and white?
Well, I think people can.
Wow.
Because barbiturates can cause it, and that's like antipsychotics, so antidepressants, or pain management drugs, that sort of thing. That can cause color blindness. Some antibiotics can. I don't know why that would happen. Blood pressure meds. And apparently some medications that treat tuberculosis can cause color blindness. I think it's because it has something to do with your, like, your nerves. Because, I don't know. I would assume that it has something to do with your nerves, and that's kind of where the misconnection from cone to brain comes in. Is that somewhere that signal's being dropped. And I'm assuming these medications affect that transmission. If color blindness is a symptom of medication, your doctor's going to tell you.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to name any medicines, but after all that, let's go back to the types of color blindness. I said there's sort of a spectrum of color blindness. On that spectrum, there's also three definitive types of color blindness. You already said one.
Mm-hmm.
Dichromacy, which is the most common form of color blindness. That's where red-green color blindness comes in, which is what you have.
Yep. Which, you know, what's really weird about that, too, is a lot of times when people are asking me what it's like, they say, oh, so you can't see red or green.
Yeah.
Well, technically, I'm missing that, you know, those cones, but it more affects me with purples and blues.
Really?
I can tell the difference between red and green pretty easily. Mm-hmm. It's blues and purples that I've had trouble with growing up.
You might have trichromacy.
I think that's a possibility, but I also know that you get purple from red.
Right.
And blue, so...
Well, you get magenta, as I talked about earlier.
I don't know the difference between purple and magenta and violet.
That's very true. But the dichromacy comes from usually like one of those three types of cones being affected. And usually red-green color blindness means that you have trouble distinguishing shades of red and green. They kind of look more like a brownish color, which is why I think that you have trichromacy.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing, but with... yellow and blue colors. It's
whenever I think of that like brownish color, it reminds me of like Saving Private Ryan, the movie, like the color scheme.
Sure. Yeah, just grungy and stuff.
Grungy and like brown is lots of browns and sepia tones.
Yeah. But there's yellow blue color blindness, which is more rare, but it happens when you have more cones that are affected. So two or more cones are affected, gives you trichromacy, and instead of everything looking gray or everything looking brown, those colors you have trouble distinguishing are more of a gray color, which I think falls into your bucket a little bit more. And from pictures that I've looked at online, people with trichromacy, everything looks like No Man's Sky. Looks awesome.
Yeah.
Everything looks like this vibrant pink and orangish color.
Yeah.
Super cool.
But how
to
would
me.
I... Yeah, to you. The thing is, like, there's no way for us, for two color-able people to differentiate colors between each other, too. That's the
true.
Whole philosophical debate.
Yeah.
If my blue looks like your blue, and neither of us are colorblind.
Right.
So it's hard to say. But also, the other thing is, like, I think people have asked me somehow, like, would you ever want to see, do you ever wish that you could see the world in full color?
Well, you have the colors. They're just, like you said, they're desaturated. Right?
And beyond that, like, how would I know? I've never seen anything but this.
Yeah.
So if I put like some magic glasses on, which some people do stuff like that, and we'll get to that, but that's not how that works.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers the types of color blindness.
Except there's one more.
There's monochromacy, which is, or total color blindness is another word for it.
And do you know about the island of monochromatic people?
Yeah, cool. I have heard of that. Do you want to go into it?
Yeah, I only know a little bit about it, but I think that there was a more shallow gene pool on this island.
Yep.
Because it was segregated and isolated is a better word.
Yeah.
And all the people on that island married and had kids with each other and stuff. Like, they're all from different families, but there weren't that many families there. So most of the people on the island were monochromatic.
Yeah. It's just like a genetic bottleneck in that one area. There's a whole island of people just see black and white and grays.
Yeah.
And that's the most rare in a typical society, the most rare form, which is that I think pretty much all of your cones aren't working. So it's just picking up on levels of light instead of the types of light.
Yep.
There's also this octopus, I think it is. Or there's a sea creature. I know that much.
Mantis shrimp.
Is it a mantis shrimp?
Mantis shrimp. There's a couple of sea creatures that can see more color. They have a wider spectrum than
us. They can see like ultraviolet or infrared. So if you have more cones, like some animals might have 4 or 5, they can see past Roy G. Biv, and they can see into those other spectrums.
And Roy G. Biv, it's the main colors, but it's also, was it red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet?
Yep.
Okay.
That's Roy G. Biv. That's probably a good thing you explained that.
Yeah.
Past violet is ultraviolet, and before red is infrared. We can't see those because we just don't have receptors for them.
Yep. But little mantis shrimp, which are the coolest animals in the world.
They're pretty cool.
Who also have they just like flick their wrists and it's as strong as a bullet.
Really?
They're just the best. And they're extremely intelligent and they can see like colors that we can't.
Yeah. The thing that I was going to say is that there are squids and octopi that can replicate, they camouflage. They change the pigments in their skin to camouflage into their environment, but they're colorblind. So no one knows how they do it because they match the colors in their environment while being colorblind.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. So it must be, I don't know.
Doesn't that kind of work with, you know, when you walk by a sign in the mall or something and one way, because of the angle you're looking at it, it looks like that. Mm-hmm. And then you turn the other way, it looks different. Or those little like holographic cards that you move and it looks like it's animated.
Sure.
Isn't that how octopus work with, or octopi work?
There's different kinds of octopus. This is just one type of octopus.
Okay.
That their camouflage works in mysterious ways like that. The other thing that I want to point out is another common misconception with dogs. When people say they're colorblind, that's not entirely true. According to dogtime.com, dogs have a different field of vision, or different cones than we have, obviously, because they're not humans, where they mostly pick up on yellows, blues, and violets, whereas reds and greens are not nearly as present. So they're basically a red-green colorblind. They're not monochromatic.
Yeah.
As most people assume they are. I just remember watching an episode of Rugrats where they go to Spike's point of view and everything's black and white. It's not how it works, people.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or my creative writing class.
Yeah.
Where I had this really, really depressed teacher that looked exactly like Edward Norton and acted like Edward Norton. Yeah. But he used to tell stories about his youth. And one of the things he did was he used to work at a dog toy factory. And he would make like these bright yellow dog toys.
Yeah.
And he would just like push them through the factory line and think the whole time.
Works, Mr. Norton?
Yeah. What is the point of this? Like they can't see how bright this is.
When in fact, yellow is one of the better colors that they can see.
I guess so. They could have been a different color. It's been a few years.
This sounds like an awful teacher.
He was the best, actually.
Was he? Oh, yeah. My bad.
He made us read a lot of Chuck Palahniuk.
Yeah, that's good of him.
Like, it was really awkward.
Kids out there, don't read Chuck Palahniuk. Adults out there, if you haven't read Chuck Palahniuk, read Chuck Palahniuk. So, let's get back on topic here. I think it should be pretty obvious how this can affect lives. Can you tell me how it's affected your life? Besides the fact that you wear Christmas colors year-round?
Yeah.
I think we've answered the question.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Sometimes I am driving in my car, and I see those little octangle. What are they called? Octangular?
Octopus.
Sure. Yeah, the sign, and it says something on it. Can't really read it.
Stop.
I think so, and I keep going, and then the cops pull me over.
Right.
But the gray lights start flashing.
Yeah.
And they come up, and they're like, why'd you go through that stop sign? And I go, oh, I'm colorblind. That was stoptional. And he goes,
that's such a good disappointing
one. Good one, dude. Here's the ticket.
Yeah. Here's a $70 ticket.
So, yeah, it's just discrimination. It's because I'm colorblind.
Yeah.
That's another thing people say, though. They say, how do you know when to go when the light turns green?
Well, that's what I was going to get to, is that the good thing is that streetlights have an order that they always follow.
What?
Which is, you didn't know this? The top is red, below that is yellow, and below that's green.
Oh, man, this would be so much easier. Yeah. Normally, I just go when other people do.
Yeah.
But when I'm at a stop sign alone, I'm just like, oh, my God, please somebody show up.
Well, the confusing thing would be is that some places have them turned horizontally.
Yeah.
Which is really dumb.
Uh-huh.
Especially for colorblind people. It also can affect, like you said, pilots. Pilots can't be colorblind because they need to be able to distinguish who's on their side and who's not, I guess, right?
Is that how that works?
Yeah. There are some other, you know, occupations that people can't have, especially if you work with electrical wires, because many of them are colored for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all colors. They're black and yellow and red and green and blue and purple and white and all these colors. You need to be able to know which one to cut. Which I think would make a really good action movie. They're like, well, why do I cut? Cut the green one.
And then they show a shot of it.
It's all brown.
I used to work, I'm past the statute of limitations, so I couldn't admit this crime.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
And I would have to check the pool chlorine levels.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So I'd put my little test strip in.
Yeah.
And I take it out and go, yep, looks great, just like it did every day, ever.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's definitely not concerning at all. So, luckily, we can cure colorblindness, right? No.
Oh, well, okay, just play with my livelihood.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, we don't have the technology now to do so.
Right. They're all over the internet, especially lately, and especially on Facebook. Because you brought this up, there's like that video of people putting on the glasses.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, I can see colors now. Not how it works.
People cry.
People start crying and stuff. What happens with those glasses is they are specially tinted to make it easier for some people to distinguish colors.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It doesn't cure your blindness. It doesn't cure your color blindness. It doesn't make you see those colors perfectly. It just makes them easier to distinguish from one to another.
Yeah. Which, hey, that could be super useful, and especially for someone that is more affected by it than
sure.
I am.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll wear a weird colored shirt up here and there. I can't tell a blue or purple.
But you don't want to be a pilot or an electrician, so it's not going to affect
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and well, let's say I did. Okay, let's say I didn't want to be a pilot, because I think that could be fun.
Yeah.
Even then, I think that technology's... I don't know how that's advanced, because it was just... It was the colors of the radar, mm-hmm. as far as I understand.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
What, they just upgrade their software and now I could see it?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
The other thing, though, too, is that those glasses cost, I went on their website, they cost like $400 for a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go for it, I'm not telling you not to, but that's $400 for a cover-up instead of...
It's just it's desaturating all the other colors that you're good at seeing.
Yeah, pretty much. So it just gives you a level playing ground.
Yeah.
There actually is a proposed cure. I think last year there was this, I think it was last year they did testing on monkeys, which I don't want to go into that, because I'm sure you don't like it.
Yeah, I already cried my eyes out listening to Stuff You Should Know, this episode on that.
Well, I'm going to talk about Stuff You Should Know here, again, is the proposed treatment is with CRISPR gene editing, which CRISPR gene editing is a huge topic to tackle, and Stuff You Should Know, friends of the podcast... I guess we can say friends of the podcast did a great episode on it where they go into the ins and outs of CRISPR gene editing or gene therapy. So I'm going to go over the basics. If you want to know more, go listen to them. Not that they need advertising.
Yeah, you guys, we should, out of the goodness of our hearts, you should listen to Stuff You Should Know. It's stuffyoushouldknow.com.
Yeah. But anyway, we found viruses.
Make sure to leave them a review on iTunes.
Yep.
Five stars only.
Yep. Tell them we sent you.
Yep.
But somewhere along the line, we found viruses that we can basically fill with blueprints of genetic blueprints. We can also tell it to seek out certain gene sequences. So the idea is that we take this virus, we give it a blueprint for a properly working, like a normal person's...
Genes. Okay. Gene sequences. Yeah.
We take a normal person's gene sequences that isn't colorblind for mm-hmm. wherever this genetic defect comes from. We tell it to seek out the genetic defect. We inject that into your eye, and then this CRISPR gene editor goes to work and cures your color blindness.
Okay, so for me, I usually go black, 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 blue.
Yeah.
That's my usual gene sequence.
Uh-huh.
They're usually all skinny. I'm about 31-30.
Yeah.
And then you're saying...
Well, thanks for revealing that on the air.
Huh?
Now everyone knows your waist size.
Oh, well, it's because I'm the perfect human.
Oh.
So,
I mean, you could say that.
How would that affect my gene sequence?
normally it would only affect the double helix nature.
I have two heels. What are we talking about?
So that's, I mean, if there's a lot of debate about CRISPR gene editing right now, but if that's something that we could do, that would cure colorblindness for most people, the people that are affected with the genetic side of things, not the trauma side of things or the medicine side of things.
Except, does CRISPR work as a preventative? Or I does mean, it go in and it can fix it?
That's the thought, right? Have you seen Gattaca?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, how far do we go with it? Where we can just say, no one's ever going to be colorblind again because we're just as babies.
But me as a human who's grown and has feelings and emotions and has consciousness,
yeah,
you can't just be like, okay, let's strap on this gene sequence and grow you from scratch.
Right. I mean, you could.
You could?
Yeah.
Then great. You could do it with live people.
Yeah. There's also a really good episode of Doctor Who that you should go watch. I think it's in season 2. It's a two-parter.
Yeah.
And there's this guy that comes down. Maybe I shouldn't spoil Doctor Who. But it's been out for a really long time. So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. And it's not important to the plot. I'm getting like really excited talking about Doctor Who here.
Oh my God. He's literally like blushing.
I know. But John Barrowman comes down, Captain Jack Harkness, handsome man, comes down and he has like this, I guess, these nanobots that are supposed to repair your body. And he accidentally releases them on London during World War II. And they find this little boy and they don't know what humans look like. So they think that this little boy is what humans are supposed to look like. So they go around turning everyone into this little boy. I mean, that's how far CRISPR gene editing could get. So if you want to go look up CRISPR gene editing, if that doesn't scare you, it's CRISPR. There's no E. It's super cool stuff.
Cool. So now, again, I'm just super interested in this.
Yeah.
CRISPR gene editing isn't just inserting cones into my eyeballs. Is that an option?
Not that I came across. The only research that I found was this one that they did on monkeys with CRISPR gene editing.
Yeah.
And it worked on them to fix that that defect. But as far as the problem is, and we'll say this time and time again, I've said it before, is that science doesn't know everything. We don't know exactly what causes color blindness. We just know that it is genetic, so we can cure it in that respect, but we don't know if it's a lack of cones or the message being lost somewhere or no cones at all. So we can't just say, like, you need more cones. Here's some cones.
I mean, I'm right here, though. Like, do it. Like, I will open my eyes, just put cones in. And
you just want me to throw cones at your eyes?
Please.
Until you can see.
We're going to go to the ice cream store after this as a joke, and it's going to be really funny for just us.
Yeah.
When they throw cones at my eyes.
I'm going to be like, why are these crazy guys laughing?
Because of the cones. And they're going to be like, don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah.
Winners don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. They'll go colorblind.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's all I got for colorblindness. Do you want to recap?
Yeah. Don't do drugs. You'll go colorblind.
All right.
Also, your eyeballs have a bunch of cones in them.
Yep.
And rods.
Yep.
And Rod's chill. He's like, yo, what's up?
Some man.
I like to hang out in the low light. Go to the club.
You live in the shadows. I was born in them.
Yep. That's
what
Rod
says.
Yeah. And cones are like little rainbows.
Yeah.
And
they dance all day.
Yeah.
Party at night.
They suck up all the colors and they spit them out through your eyeballs into your brain.
Yep.
Or into your eyeballs from the outside. I'm dizzy. What was I saying?
I got lost there. And I think your eyes rolled back into your head.
Yeah.
Huh?
Good, great job. What's next?
We got... That's color blindness.
That's color blindness. A review of the color palettes of movies. How did you feel about The Twilight Zone?
It was black and white.
This has been color blindness.
Our new hits podcast series.
Let's talk about how much we love Wesley Anderson.
Very desaturated.
Perfect levels.
Should we move on to a listener question?
We should talk about that podcast that mentioned us.
Yeah, so first things first, we had a shout out from Random Sampling, another podcast. Friends of the podcast, they were talking about bugs on one of their episodes, so they brought up our podcast, kind of.
Yeah. A lot of oftentimes, often.
Yep.
Okay. People confuse our podcast with the non-podcast, Stranger Things.
Which came out how
much later than our podcast?
Like a couple of weeks
after Stranger Things came out. Not that it didn't have pre-production for a year or two.
But it's confused a lot of people. And that's what happened on this podcast. They called us Stranger Things instead of Stranger Still.
Yep.
Which we'll still give them a shout out. Go listen to Random Sampling, even though they got our name wrong. Let's get their name wrong. Random Sapling.
Random Sapling. It's a tree podcast. It's about arbors and arbor days.
And it's a very limited podcast scope. But anyway, my wife has done that. Shelby always tells people, she's like, when I go on Facebook, I thought a lot of people were excited about Nick's podcast, but then I realized they're talking about Stranger Things.
Yeah. And also, like, what better thing to be confused with? Just, like, the best show?
Yeah.
It's great.
That show is so good. And I do want to say that I wish that I had watched it before we did our Conspiracy Theories podcast.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't watched it, and I watched it, like, a week after we did our Conspiracy Theories podcast. Watched it all in one day, and they talk about MKUltra in that show. And I totally could have tied it in, because it's a big plot point in that yep. show, but I missed that boat entirely.
Well, another huge thing that's pretty neat is I'm from Long Island.
Uh-huh.
And it was based on Long Island.
Yeah,
like everything, like yeah. all the experiments are based on like the Montauk projects and inspired by that at least.
Yeah.
And me and my friends used to go over to like Kingsburg Psych Center when mm-hmm. it was abandoned and like check all that stuff out.
Creepy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Also, we have a couple people share our podcast. You want to shout them out real fast?
Oh, yeah. Carissa did so.
Yep.
And so did Delia.
Yep.
And when you guys do that, it makes my heart fill with colorful joy, desaturated colorful joy.
I was about to say, slightly grayish joy.
Yeah, but it's still filled.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing our podcast. We also had a new review from Nikki on iTunes. So thanks to Nikki for leaving that review. That's the best way you guys can help us out, even if it's just leaving us some stars. You don't have to write anything out. It'd be greatly appreciated.
Yep.
So now let's get to that listener question, which actually came from one of our iTunes reviews.
Oh, neat.
Surprisingly enough. He left the review back on July 31st. So sorry it took almost 2 months to get to your question. But he wanted to know why our face turns red when we get embarrassed, I mm-hmm. think. Because he left the question in the title of the review and it got cut off. So I said, why is our face turn red when we... So I assume it's when we get embarrassed. It could also be when you get drunk, because that happens to some people. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with when you're embarrassed. That's a long way to just to say, why does our face turn red when we get embarrassed?
Okay.
Well, Drew, when you get embarrassed, your fight or flight activates, which is?
It's the little guy in your head from the movie by the Disney people. The little Louis Black, right? And he goes, what are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, yes, but no. Louis Black.
That's my Louis Black impression. That's when he does that specific thing. I could do an impression of a lot of different people I didn't tell you about. Yeah. Ready? I want you to guess who this is.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln.
Clearing his throat.
Yeah. Do another one.
Okay.
Chef Boyardee.
Catching his breath.
Yeah. You know, gone off on a lot of tangents on this one. Uh-huh. But I think it's good to do because I've been watching the Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated lately on uh-huh. Netflix. And Louis Black voices a character in there. And every time Shelby's sitting there and I'm watching Scooby-Doo and Louis Black says something, he's like, oh, hey, it's that one guy. I'm like, yeah, Louis Black. She's like, yeah, that one guy. It's happened like three times now.
Did I tell you I met him?
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
I went and saw his comedy stand-up show.
Really?
At Westbury Music Fair. When I was like young.
Yeah.
I was like a little kid.
And you probably shouldn't have been there because he swears a lot.
That's what he said. I met him after the show and he's like, how old are you guys? They're like, hey, well, get your autographs. Like, forget everything I said in there.
That's funny. I bet when you met Louis Black and he said that, you were probably a little embarrassed, right?
Yeah, my face turned red.
Back on topic. So, fight or flight is basically an evolutionary response where when something happens, your body decides whether it's going to fight or it's going to run away, also known as flight. When that happens, a bunch of adrenaline is released. And specifically in your facial region, when your fight or flight activates, a bunch of adrenaline is released. And when that happens, your blood vessels dilate, they get bigger, so you have a better blood flow. Your blood rate also goes up. Specifically in your face, they get bigger and it shows up by turning your face red.
Yeah, because adrenaline's red, and that's how you make Code Red Mountain Dew.
Right. It's just 100% adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
But the skin in your face is a little bit thinner, so your blood vessels are going to be a little bit more visible when they get dilated, so your face is going to turn red. And that's also why it does happen when you drink alcohol and stuff, is that your blood vessels dilate. Also happens in your face, which can make it turn red. Happens a lot in Japanese people for some reason.
What?
Yeah. like almost every single Japanese person
does what?
Their face turns red when they drink alcohol.
Because why?
Because their blood vessels dilate. Were you not listening for the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, but I'm just so baffled.
Were you thinking about losing
black? What makes
black?
It different?
It's just genetic.
All right.
For the most part. So, there you go, Drew. Did I say his name? Drew Seffel J. Well,
Drew Seffel J.
Drew Seffel J.
Drew Seffel J.
Drew Seffel J. I think, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how it was left in the iTunes review. So, bringing it full circle, please leave us a review on iTunes if you're feeling it.
Yeah. And also, you can follow us on Twitter, @StrangerStill.
Yep. And we've got a Facebook group. It's pretty active. John's been posting a lot of articles that are fun to read in there lately and posting funny pictures. So just search for Stranger Things again. Search for Stranger Still on Facebook and you'll find us. We'll let you in. If you want to send us a question, you can send it on Twitter. You can also email it to podcast@StrangerStillShow.com.
Or you can verbally assault a stranger.
You're just going with that theme still, huh?
By telling them, hey, I don't like you, but you might like Stranger Still.
Yeah. Or just choose a random person walking down the street, grab their phone out of their hands because you know they're texting and walking. Go to the podcast app on their phone, search for Stranger Still.
Leave a review first.
Leave a review first and then hit subscribe and then it'll just automatically download for them every Wednesday.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if your arms are long enough, you could probably just put your palm on their forehead and watch them swing at you while you do all that.
Yeah. I mean, or just get like an accomplice to help you out there.
Oh, yeah, that too. So. But don't go to prison. Unless that's a great area to meet new people to listen to us.
I think so. Should we encourage people to go to jail to advertise our podcast?
I don't know. I guess so. Nick and I are going to go and figure out our line.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a gray area, much like colorblind people.
Wow, that wasn't forced.
Yeah. You like that wraparound?
Yep. So this is Vin.
Stranger Still.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Ben.
Stranger Still.